Hi, welcome to the Brain Injury Answers Podcast. This is Dr. David Glazer providing the answers you need when a brain injury occurs. This podcast is for educational purposes only. For treatment, please consult your physician. This podcast does not represent the Department of Veterans Affairs. All right, let's get started. Question. I was told that my loved one is storming. What does this mean? Answer. Your loved one is undergoing a process called neurostorming, which is very common after someone sustains a traumatic brain injury. Neurostorming can also be known as paroxysmal sympathetic hyperactivity. Again, this is another fancy word and term that we'll describe a little more during this podcast. So, as it's been said in many prior podcasts, the brain controls the entire body. When the brain is injured, there can be a loss of control to many parts of the body. Therefore, there's a disconnect, a lack of proper communication between the brain and the rest of the body, which can then cause various reactions to occur in the body. These reactions can be a high heart rate, an elevated blood pressure, breathing difficulties, overall agitation that's appearing within a patient. And there are others. These are some of the bigger ones. It can be caused by various reasons. After the initial brain injury, there could be items that are affecting the body, and the brain's not able to turn that pain, that stimulation off. For example, again, I just mentioned pain. Someone with a traumatic brain injury may have broken some bones. They may not be able to speak properly to vocalize their pain. So instead of them saying, "Doctor, nurse, therapist, I'm in a lot of pain," their body may exhibit an elevated heart rate. Therefore, by then treating the pain, this neurostorming is then treated. Likewise, someone might have a urinary tract infection, which is agitating the body, and the brain causes the various symptoms of neurostorming to occur. By treating the urinary tract infection, the neurostorming theoretically should subside. But other times, this is just not the case. The brain injury may be severe enough that there's not one specific item causing the neurostorming. So from all the descriptions I've talked about so far, one could understand this neurostorming to really be defined as the lack of the brain telling the body to stop whatever it's doing, and the body is doing what it wants to do. For example, many people have been to the doctor and have had their reflexes tested, meaning by their knee, they've had a little instrument tap their knee, and they've seen their knee, or in this case really the leg, move upwards and downwards. This is a reflex. This means the signal goes into the spinal cord and right back out, and the brain's not controlling that. So with neurostorming, the brain inhibition is not occurring, and it's as almost as if there's constant reflexes of sorts happening to the body, and it causes the body to react in the ways I've recently mentioned. So how do we go about treating neurostorming? Because it's known that if a patient is neurostorming, it's not going to allow for good recovery. Stays in hospitals will be longer as well. So again, if there's pain, treat the pain. If there's an infection, treat the infection. If there's a catheter, make sure the catheter is working properly. If there's tight clothing, make sure the clothing gets loosened so that the patient is not being affected by some outside source. Now, if there's nothing else causing all this, and it's all kind of intrinsic to the brain injury in and of itself, then there are medications and environmental changes that can be made. So again, refer back to the agitation podcast. Make the environment calm. Turn down the lights. Turn off the volume. If there are 3, 4, 5 visitors in the room, again, number down, limit down the number of visitors. A calm, nice, peaceful environment will help calm the neurostorming. Then there are medications that can be done. One common medication is propranolol. This is a heart medication that crosses the blood-brain barrier and can help calm the brain down and can help decrease the neurostorming. Another medication is clonidine. Again, this is another sort of blood pressure medication that can also help calm down the body. So if you've heard so far, I've mentioned two medications that can affect the central nervous system, or the system that our brain is a part of before it begins to have its effect on the peripheral nervous system. Meaning, say, our nerves that go out from our spinal cord into the rest to our muscles. So again, we have this sympathetic activity, our body that's being energized and speeding up, and we have a parasympathetic nervous system, which helps people calm down and relax in simple terms. In addition, there has been some use for gabapentin in the role of neurostorming. Oftentimes, one sees gabapentin being used in neuropathic or nerve type pain. And then one could also use benzodiazepines like diazepam, which some people know as Valium, lorazepam, which some people know as Ativan. And again, this can help quiet down the central nervous system. But again, keep in mind that when we use a medication like a benzodiazepine, it can become addictive to a patient. But in that's where the medical team comes into play, weighing the pros and the cons, the risks, and the benefits of using various medications to help control neurostorming. Sometimes bromocriptine might be used, which is essentially providing dopamine to help the body calm down the neurostorming. Dantrolene, which can help with muscle tightness, has also been found to help with neurostorming. So there are a variety of ways to help treat neurostorming. And again, it's important to identify why the symptoms of neurostorming are occurring. What are these symptoms of neurostorming that are occurring? And then trying to treat it as soon as possible to help prevent future problems from developing from prolonged neurostorming. And this is something that The physician, the nurse, the entire medical team are always looking out for when treating a patient who has had or will be having neurostorming in the setting of a traumatic brain injury. That's a wrap for today. Remember to email all your questions to braininjuryanswers@gmail.com. Check out the website, www.braininjuryanswers.com. Thanks for listening.